walk around with this air of Kellen Moore swag that disturbs me greatly. It's, I mean, you're not stacking dubs like you think you are.
He doesn't know how bad the rest of the players on the defense are on the linebacker court that he's dealing with out there. He has to show Anthony Hitchens and Jalen Smith what to do on a regular basis. So he flies around saving everybody, even though he doesn't quite comprehend the fact that he's in over his head and there's nothing that his immense talent can do to save his situation.
I'll give you that. That actually raised my eyebrow about 1 millimeter, which is 1 millimeter more than I thought you'd do given your entire five.
Pat, I have to give you your props on that one. The effort that you put into that comparison, it almost made me believe that you actually have your own Netflix subscription and you aren't borrowing somebody else's password. That 5 minutes ago you drank a Dr. Pepper when you know that you were drinking the Piggly Wiggly brand. You weren't drinking no damn Dr. Pepper. So come with the real when you're talking to me.
KD, what up, brother?
Hey, man, it's another exciting, exhilarating, and anticipated episode of Catch This Fade. And to all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for staying with us throughout all this time. We took a little time off to get some things organized, and we are pleased to be back on the airwaves sharing your time with you here in Cowboys Nation. And there is no better way to restart than the way that we launched the show in the first place. We're going to tackle Cowboys player comparisons. We did it in the first time, we did it with Game of Thrones, and now we're going to do it to commemorate the return of the hit sensation flashback to the 1980s Netflix show called Stranger Things.
I'm here for it.
Now listen, a lot of people might not be up to date on what Stranger Things is. Not everybody catches on the first season. I know, it's a travesty if they haven't, but look at our man Joey Ice, who just finished watching The Wire for the first time. Now that was beautiful to watch, a lot of people don't catch everything as soon as it comes out. So let's bring them up to speed a little bit on what Stranger Things is before we start to the comparisons on the Cowboys.
Hey, let's do it.
It's set in the 1980s, early 1980s. I think it's 1983, as a matter of fact, in the state of Indiana. It's a story of four preteens that play Dungeons and Dragons, and some mysterious stuff starts to happen in the neighborhood. I'm doing a really bad job of making it as interesting as it really is. But strange things start happening in the neighborhood when there's a research facility that has kind of opened up the door to another dimension. And it's a throwback to movies that we had in the 80s, movies and shows that we had in the 80s, and it gives you 100% the feel of taking metal lunchboxes to school, changing the color on your Lotto sneakers. It gives you all of that nuance that happened in the 1980s, the way that the kids interact with each other, the way they talk with each other. And it's basically a story of four best friends and them trying to get one of their friends back from this other dimension.
Because it's a throwback to the 1980s, the early to mid-1980s, it's a great nod to when horror movies and horror television shows were actually scary and intriguing and didn't require a whole bunch of CGI gore to try to, you know, shake you out of your drawers. Like it does a masterful job of doing that, kind of like the way Conjuring does.
If you're watching the games, it's time to start making some money. MyBookie is the industry-leading website that hooks you up for all of your betting needs. With their great odds, fast payouts, and decades of expertise, MyBookie lets you bet with confidence. Your team doesn't even have to win, they just need to cover the spread. So what are you waiting for? Lay down some cash and win big today. Or, if you know your team sucks, do yourself a favor and bet against them. If they lose, you'll make money, and if they win, you'll still be happy. That's the life that Redskins fans have basically taken on for the last 20 years. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I encourage my listeners to make their way to mybookie.ag. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have in-game, live betting, and a mobile site that makes wagering on the go easier than ever. And if you'd rather just play a few hands of blackjack or roll the dice in craps, check out their awesome online casino. Folks, Join now using our promo code, and MyBookie will match your deposit with a bonus up to 100%. Put in $100, play with two. Just that simple. Use our promo code CSR to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't brought yourself up to speed on Stranger Things Season 1 just yet, make sure you guys do that immediately after we give you this hot Catch the Fade podcast. You will not be sorry.
And after you're finished with that, Season 2 actually premieres by the time that this goes to air. Season 2 will be available. It's not yet at the time of recording, but overnight, when the clock strikes midnight, celebrating Halloween weekend, Season 2 will be here. And that's the reason why we wanted to make sure we commemorated the occasion with this comparison. So, let's get it started. We're going to do the same thing that we did with Game of Thrones. We're going to have a dueling top five. And at the end of the day on Twitter, all of our listeners can chime in and tell us who they thought had the best comparisons. And obviously, you would have to be in tune with the show to know. I'm going to win. I always win. That's kind of how this whole thing goes. Patch maybe won one episode of the last 15 that we've done. So, he's just going to get used to this.
There's nothing to get used to, because see, the problem is you, I don't know, you walk around with this air of Kellen Moore swag that disturbs me greatly. It's, I mean, you're not stacking dubs like you think you are, but I have to allow you to believe that you're winning at least some of the time, because I don't want you to take your ball and go home.
Well, most likely, Kellen Moore is going to be in your top five. That just shows you how pathetic this is going to be. So let's start it off. We're going to alternate. We're going to start with you. I will give you the floor. Who is your number five comparison between a Stranger Things character and a player on the Dallas Cowboys?
All right. Kicking it off, ladies and gentlemen, my number five is going to be Will Byers from Stranger Things. He is comparable to Darren McFadden.
Ooh, okay. Let's go.
The reason being is Will Byers, he's a good kid, and he was just going about his day, you know, normal preteen stuff, you know, has its ups, has its downs, but overall, you like the kid. And then suddenly, he goes missing. And he's nowhere to be found. He's just like McFadden, he's been stuck on the inactives list for the entire six games of the Dallas Cowboys 2017 regular season. No one saw it coming. He went into the regular season pretty much as the incumbent backup to running back Ezekiel Elliott, but the Cowboys veered left. They went with Alfred Morris. They're kind of sticking with the progression of Rod Smith. McFadden has been on the inactives, stuck in the living room wall ever since September 10th. That's my number five. Will Byers is running back Darren McFadden.
I can dig that. That's actually a good comparison. It's almost worthy of making my top five, but my list is just that much better. I would never even include Darren McFadden in this situation.
Give me what you got. What you got?
Number five, Chief Jim Hopper. Uh-huh. Now, Chief Jim Hopper has been through a lot. He's an old head on the show. He's been through a rack of stuff. If you know Season 1, he lost somebody that was very close to him. He's dealing with that. He's kind of an incomplete soul that needs to be fulfilled by the people around him. But when the stuff hits the fan, he takes charge, even though he doesn't know the full scope of what he's gotten himself into. He really wants to help, and that's really his MO throughout the entire thing. He rescues people, he's there for people, he comforts people, he does all of that stuff, and that's why the top comparison for Mr. Chief Jim Hopper, Sean mm-hmm. Lee.
Oh.
Sean Lee is an old head.
Okay.
He is an old head now. He might not be that old in football years, but his body is, because he breaks down around every corner.
Hey,
take
it easy.
Look. That's my man. That's my man in them. But Sean Lee, he takes charge of the defense, even though he doesn't understand the full scope of what's going on around him, because he doesn't know how bad the rest of the players on the defense are on the linebacker core that he's dealing with out there. He has to show Anthony Hitchens and Jalen Smith what to do on a regular basis. So he flies around saving everybody, even though he doesn't quite comprehend the fact that he's in over his head and there's nothing that his immense talent can do to save his situation. So my comparison, number five, Chief Jim Hopper, Sean Lee. Take that, take that, take that.
That did you haul him shake with that? I thought I felt your shoulders doing a little diddy bop just now.
I'm sending people across the bridge.
Take that.
Yeah, I'm sending people across the bridge.
That was nice. I'll give you that. That actually raised my eyebrow about 1 millimeter, which is 1 millimeter more than I thought you'd do, given your entire five. That we're gonna go over. So that, hat tip to that one. That was smooth. I'll give you that. But
hold on. No. You don't get to go again because remember we're doing the snake draft. So
you go five.
Okay. I was trying to spare them. And then I go four.
I was just trying to spare them your nonsense. But by all means,
I completely understand. And I just want to throw a shout out to you being able to move your eyebrow because based on your responses, I thought rigor mortis had already set in on you. So we're gonna go ahead and move on to number four.
Before I ask you to spell rigor mortis, continue.
I know, man.
Stop it.
Number four, Dustin Henderson. My man, Dustin.
Okay,
if you don't know the show, Dustin is the coolest kid in the candy store. And it's not because he's actually cool, but he's just an awesome-ass dude. He arrived late to the group. There's a scene in there where he talks about the fact that that a couple of the other characters that we'll get into in a second are best friends, and he arrived late. He came in fourth grade when everybody else was together since kindergarten, which I can definitely attest to being that type of person. He is always an optimist. He's always an optimist. He is the one that says, hey, guys, we can do this. Put our heads together. Let's make it happen. He comes up with great ideas, and most importantly about him and his toothless self, because his baby teeth fell out and he can't grow permanent teeth. That's what makes him so damn cool.
His gums can't get right.
He is comfortable with his own shortcomings. He doesn't care that he looks silly when compared to everybody else that's in his school. He doesn't care. And for that reason, my number four comparison for Dustin Henderson, rookie cornerback Jordan Lewis.
Because Jordan doesn't care that he's only five foot four
out there on the football field. He cares none that receivers tower over him. That man has fight in him. He has a dog in him, and he will go out there and he will do his job for his teammates. He lays it all out there on the line every single week. He does not care about the fact that he's not supposed to be as good as he is. He just goes out there and he does his job to the betterment of the team. My number four comparison, Dustin Henderson, Jordan Lewis. Let's go.
That was tolerable.
Tolerable. This dude.
It was cute. You know what I mean? Like those little Valentine hearts that they gave out in fifth grade, and you had a note attached to it, like, please like me. Like, that's kind of what that was.
It sounds like you're bitter you didn't get any.
No, I got plenty.
Okay, all right.
Just the yellow ones guaranteed that the girl got rejected. But we're going to talk about my number four, which is pretty much going to kill everything we're talking about. I don't even know if you're going to want to go 3-2-1 after this. But, I'll see your Dustin, and I'll raise you my number four. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Dr. Martin Brenner.
Now, for
those that don't know the show, Dr. Brenner is, in fact, the main antagonist, and he is an exceptionally brilliant man. He's designed this entire covert organization, for the most part, funded by the government, and he's the reason a lot of these stranger things are happening, hence the title of the show, Stranger Things. Dr. Martin Brenner, his IQ cannot be challenged. His plan is faulted, though. It's faulty because he can't get out of his own way. If he were to utilize his full intellect, he could pretty much take over the town and more. However, because he believes that his intellect is impenetrable, it's infallible, therein lies his issue. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why, for me, my number four, Dr. Martin Brenner, is offensive coordinator Scott Linehan.
Scott Linehan, ladies and gentlemen, he is a genius. He is absolutely brilliant when it comes to designing offenses in the NFL. When he is firing on all cylinders, it is a wonder to behold. He can design and orchestrate an offensive effort week in and week out that can average 40 points or more per game if he is on his P's and Q's. However, it's when Linehan begins to get cute. It's when he begins to overreach and feel like no one else can match his intellect is when he falters. That's when you start seeing the questionable plays on third down. Third and short, pass the ball. You're in the red zone, pass the ball. While you have the Ezekiel Elliott, the 2016 rushing champ, right there. Give him the ball. Let him handle that. And that's why you start to see things like time management issues come up every once in a while. And it's, again, it's not because Scott Linehan cannot do the job he's paid to do. He can actually do it better than, I'll go ahead and say, 99% of the offensive coordinators in the NFL. But for all of his worth and value, as far as his football intellect goes and his ability to design an unstoppable offense, he can't seem to get out of his own way. And that is why, when it comes to the Cowboys, stranger things keep happening. Ladies and gentlemen, number four, Dr. Martin Brenner is offensive coordinator Scott Linehan. What you got, man?
That wasn't half bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't really half good, but it wasn't half bad.
I mean, it takes it good when I said it. So that's
I appreciate the effort that you made in coming up with that comparison. I'm going to need a little bit more from you than just finding, you know, hey, look, the old guy and then the old guy. Let's make a comparison between the two. Go ahead with your number three, man.
You tried it. Okay, well, since you're trying your hardest to minimalize my greatness with number four. Let's be clear. That was Pulitzer material. That was Pulitzer material right there. The number four. I mean, let's put that out there. Go ahead.
I think you said it correctly the first time. That was Pulitzer material. You said it right.
No, that was a little bit of my Georgia coming out. So don't do it, Maryland. Don't you do it.
Let's go. Number three. What you got?
Number three. Ladies and gentlemen, my number three on my Stranger Things comparison to Dallas Cowboys player list is the Demogorgon. For those that don't know, the Demogorgon is, in fact, exactly what it sounds like. It is the demon, the demonic entity that more or less is the reason that Will Byers is missing, the child that we spoke about earlier in the podcast. And it is what is chasing down a lot of the good-hearted citizens of the town.
Good old Hawkins, Indiana.
Good old Hawkins, Indiana. Ladies and gentlemen, number three, the Demogorgon is defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence.
Ooh, okay.
And the reason being is because much like the Demogorgon, DeMarcus Lawrence more or less came out of nowhere in 2017. He spent the last two seasons fighting injury. He's had two consecutive off seasons wherein he underwent back surgery. And he's just not been able to get his game underneath him because of the injuries he's been fighting since he was brought onto the team as a high draft pick. But now, going into 2017, I got receipts, gotta love that. But most people did not expect DeMarcus Lawrence to have this type of season. Now, I won't say that I expected this type of outing from DeMarcus Lawrence. That would be disingenuous. What I did expect was that he would have a career season. But what is happening right now is he's outpacing DeMarcus Ware. And DeMarcus Ware, as some of you may or may not know, his franchise single season sack record is 20 sacks. And right now, Lawrence is on pace for 25, which would be 2.5 sacks more than Michael Strahan delivered in his NFL all-time regular season when he delivered that number. But again, DeMarcus Lawrence is the Demogorgon because few people saw it coming. Those who did see him coming didn't see it coming to this extent, but he's here now. No one's safe. No quarterback is safe. He's everywhere they want to be. He's coming out of the shadows just when they think they're safe. It's a sack. It's a sack fumble. It's a sack fumble recovery. He is unstoppable right now. He's only going to get better with the assistance of David Irving being back. Tyrone Crawford has stepped up. Malik Collins is trending upwards again. Ladies and gentlemen, The league is terrified of my number three, DeMarcus Lawrence, the Demogorgon of the NFL. What you got, man?
That is not bad. I can see the whole comparison. He's the guy that offensive coordinators and quarterbacks are fearing. They're going to run for them. I can see where you were going with this, and I will actually give you credit for your execution of the concept.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I'm clutching my pearls. Did KD just... Did he? Oh.
However...
And there it is. I was waiting for the shoe to drop. Always the other shoe, man. Always.
With my back-to-back number three and number two, I'm going to show you the error of your ways. I'm going to take one of your characters as well as one of your targets, one of your player comparisons, and show you the real equality between the two sides, which you should have gone to when I gave you the chance to go first.
Let's see what you got, man.
My number three is Will Byers,
mm-hmm.
who you had for your number five. With Darren McFadden.
That's correct.
Will Byers is the smartest kid in the room. He's a star of the show, even though he isn't even in the show all that often.
Mm-hmm.
When he's gone, everybody's worried about what Will Byers is doing and how to get Will Byers back. He's a guy that everything seems to happen to. It's not really his fault, but everything just kind of seems to happen to Will Byers. And that's why the best player comparison for him, none other than Ezekiel Elliott. My man, Ezekiel Elliott, is the smartest player in the room. And it doesn't matter what he does, he seems to always get caught up in these situations where people are worried about what's going to happen next with Ezekiel Elliott. Are we going to find Will Byers? Is he in the upside down? Is he going to come home? Is he, now that he's home, is he going to be what everybody expects him to be? That's how we treat Ezekiel Elliott. Every time something happens with Ezekiel Elliott, it's always a concern about what happens next. What's going to be the next shoe to drop? By the time Stranger Things is out, we're back in court with Ezekiel Elliott. We're always in anticipation of what's happening with Zeke. And that's the same feeling that you have. Even when there's not a game on, you're worried about what's happening with Zeke. And that's the same feeling that you have when you're watching the show and wondering what's going on with Will Byers. And then when he returns, he has the badass scene of all badass scenes. And that's exactly what happens when Elliott returns to the field every Sunday. He has the badass scene of all badass scenes, and we just witnessed that in the epic 219-yard performance that he had against San Francisco. Will Byers, Ezekiel Elliott, crown me now.
Me Undies makes feel-good undies your butt will be proud to wear. They are absolutely, positively the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own, and I need you to check it out for yourself. Go to MeUndies.com/cowboys. Now, with a ton of styles and patterns to choose from for both men and women, MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personality. As long as you're not the type of person that wants to freeball and go bucky naked, MeUndies has something for you. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched. It's made with a naturally soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. How could you possibly have something 3 times softer than cotton? Get a pair of MeUndies and find out. For a limited time only, check out MeUndies glow-in-the-dark print, lights out. Why not update your underwear drawer and glow at the same time? I'm talking about fun, comfortable, smooth underwear for your jewels and for your ladies' lady parts. It's awesome. If underwear isn't your thing, if you're the type of person that goes bucky naked and free balls it all day long, MeUndies also makes the softest socks in the world. Can't have your toes naked. Now, myself personally, I'm a boxer guy, not a brief guy. And MeUndies takes care of that as well. To get your 20% off, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, they stand behind their product, ladies and gentlemen. Get the best and softest underwear you will ever own by going to MeUndies.com/cowboys. That's MeUndies.com/cowboys.
Oh, I'm sorry, I dozed off. You good? You done?
How dare you?
Because that, I just... What?
How dare you? How dare you? I understand your jealousy. I understand.
It's not that. It's this.
It was a valiant effort, and I love you for the effort. You know, gold star for KD. But, it, you know, I gotta give it to you straight up. You could have come better than the Will Byers to the Ezekiel Elliott. I see where you were going, though, and that's why it was a valiant effort.
You said Darren McFadden. You can't even talk about Will Byers anymore.
I can.
You named, the main... No. You named the main character, the show, the character that the whole show revolves around for Darren McFadden. I know that you
but
have a man crush
for
on Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
But
you,
I know.
Hold on. You just named the character who is seen twice in the first season. Well, more than twice, but very rarely, because he's pretty much missing the entirety of the season. And yet you compared him to the guy who hasn't missed a single game yet, despite the ongoings off the field with the federal case against the NFL. So I see where you were going.
Let me ask you this question.
You kind of veered off the rails there, but it's cool.
Let me ask you this question.
Cool.
Let me ask you.
Isn't as good as me. So.
Is there a Stranger Things without Will Byers?
No.
Is there a Cowboy season without Darren McFadden? Yeah, because that's where we're living right now. Next question. Going on to my number two. No, sorry. Your time is up. Sorry, sir. You'll get a minute and a half to respond on the next topic. This is a presidential debate. A minute and a half on the next topic, sir. We're moving on to number two.
He's scared of me, ladies and gentlemen. He knows what's coming.
My number two... This man is still talking. He's so rude. This is really like the presidential debate. He just can't stop talking. Number two, Lucas Sinclair, my man Lucas.
Who you got?
Lucas is a badass, man.
Yeah.
Lucas is a complete badass. He's the one that brings swagger to the show. Him and Mike Wheeler have been best friends since day one. It's a topic that comes across all the time. And the only thing that Lucas cares about is the sanctity of his group. He's all about bros before hoes. When the girl comes into the equation, and starts to steal his best friend away, he's like, wait a minute. And then when things hit the fan and people aren't listening to him and what needs to be done, this is where the comparison comes in. Pay attention now, Pat. He has an I'll do it myself attitude. Y'all don't want to help me stop this offense? Let me go out here and do all the work by myself. I don't have any friends with me right now because they're all on suspension. I got to do everything by myself. Cool. Let me jump on the bike and head on over to this facility. My man Lucas Sinclair, his comparison is the one and only DeMarcus Tank Lawrence. Because when it comes down to it for the season, he's the one that had to ignite the defense. He's the one that set it off and waited for the cavalry to arrive. Just like my man Lucas did when he said, oh, we need to figure out what's going on in this facility. Let me go do some recon. Let me go find all the information. And then once he found out what was going on, just like when Tank Lawrence started getting all those sacks, he said, come along with me, folks. Come along for the ride. Let's all get together and do this thing. That's why Lucas Sinclair, Tank Lawrence, how you like me now?
That's solid. That one is solid. I'll give you that. It's not up there with my Demogorgon reference. However, I will say this. That was a solid one because you're right. Lucas, he's not going to wait around for you. So you're either going to keep up or you're going to be looking at that red reflector on the back of his bike.
That
was a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for KD for coming up with that one. Like I said, I don't think it's up there with my Demogorgon to DeMarcus Lawrence comparison, but it's solid. It holds water, which is important. It holds water, and that's something that you don't usually do. So let's go to my number two. ladies and gentlemen, because I feel like I got to save you from KD's comparisons, and so let me go ahead and do that. So I'll see your Lucas, and I'll raise you 11.
Okay, come with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who aren't familiar with the show, 11 is the young lady who is, in fact, more or less the star protagonist of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She is the one who has been experimented on. She's the one that escaped. You can't contain her every time they try to contain her. She finds a way out. And she's quiet for the most part, but she has this very dangerous silence about her because she is, in fact, the most dangerous character in the entire show. Ladies and gentlemen, Eleven is also one who, no matter what episode it is, no matter what's going on, all eyes and all efforts are either focused on chasing her or protecting her. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, number two, Eleven is running back Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel Elliott, no matter what opposing defenses try to do, sans the Denver Broncos game, he cannot be contained. He has this quietly dangerous demeanor about himself, particularly in 2017. Agreed, he was much more talkative and much more showy in 2016, but now that it seems like he's being humbled because of everything he's going through with battling the NFL for his reputation. And what that is turning Elliott into is this more mature, this quieter beast of a person, so much so that he's now the most dangerous player on the entire team. He won't be bullied by anyone. Hi, Roger Goodell. Nor will he stop continually saving the day, which is exactly what Eleven does for her circle of friends, whether it be Lucas, begrudgingly, or Dustin, or Michael. It's Eleven who steps in and almost always has to save the day. People think they're protecting her when in actuality, she's the reason that they keep surviving. Ezekiel Elliott is the same way. It's an up and down season for the Dallas Cowboys, but if you look at the course of the first six games, if you look at the entirety of 2016, and this is not a knock to Dak Prescott, he is Offensive Rookie of the Year from last season. He is well deserving of it, and I wrote a good strong piece on why he should also be a front runner for 2017 MVP alongside players like Tom Brady and Carson Wentz. But Ezekiel Elliott, this offense runs through him. If you look at the film, who is the defensive coordinator always scheming for? They're scheming for Ezekiel Elliott. Where are all the eyes on the field, whether it be a stacked box or a non-stacked box? Everyone is trying to figure out how to contain Ezekiel Elliott, and however, they never can. He has some type of telekinetic power that allows him to get would-be tacklers off of him. His yards after contact is ridiculous. He can levitate, i.e. hurdles. Ladies and gentlemen, 11 is running back Ezekiel Elliott. We might as well stop, man. I mean, I know I got another one, you got another one, but I mean, nothing. Come on now. You got nothing for that. You got nothing for that.
That is so sad how somebody who claims to be a fan of the show could have gotten that so incorrect. I'm astounded at how badly you were incorrect on that one, man. I'm literally sitting here looking at my screen like, why is he this wrong? How is it possible that I'm doing a show with somebody this wrong?
What on earth? You know what? I try, ladies and gentlemen, to bring myself down intellectually for each of these pods so that Katie can operate on my level, but it never fails that
you're in the upside down. You're in the upside down. That's where you exist.
Okay, well, show me what you got. What you got?
No. You go number one. It's back to back. You go with your number one.
I'm trying to help you out. You sure you want to do this?
I don't need no help with this, brother. Go.
Okay, brother. Well, good segue. I appreciate you segueing me without you even realizing it. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, is not even a character. It's not a character at all.
Cheap.
Let's just keep things spicy.
Up down, right? Up down, A B A B.
Up down, up the blood code. Blood code. Mortal Kombat. Sega Genesis. Come on now. You know I know it. Come on now. Up down, left up. A B A B A. Number one is the upside down. The upside down is the alternate dimension that is only accessible through a break in the time-space continuum, which is pretty much where, you know, Eleven ends up traveling so that they can try to save Will Byers, et cetera, et cetera. But nonetheless, it is the alternate reality. It is exactly what it sounds like. It is the upside down. It's the opposite side of the coin of the universe that we operate on. It's where bad things happen.
I know where
often. And so without further ado, drum roll, please. Number one, the Upside Down is the Dallas Cowboys organization.
There you go.
And here's why. And here's why. It's, we love the Cowboys. Obviously, we love them with all of our heart and soul. But if you look at what has been going on with the Cowboys since the mid-90s, it just seems that the reality of the organization changed. It went from being a dynasty dominant, and of course there were moves that happened or did not happen, whether it be the fallout between Jerry Jones and former head coach Jimmy Johnson, whether it be the ineptitude in finding another franchise quarterback after Troy Aikman, but prior to Tony Romo. It's a mere, I mean, that's a whole other show that we could base on the things they haven't done correctly over the course of the past two decades. But to their credit, they've gotten it right. But a lot of it has kind of been luck as well, which is great because sometimes luck is better than skill. But if you look at the entirety of the Dallas Cowboys organization, it gets no more weird than watching them sometimes, because if you look at Kellen Moore, we talked about Kellen Moore earlier. You did say you knew it was going to come up, but you probably thought I was going to do it as a comp. But he has to come up if you're talking about a situation like this, because look at it. Kellen Moore, everybody knows he sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, let's not mince words and beat around the bush and say, oh, well, maybe he, no, he sucks. Put him on the curb on Thursday afternoon with the rest of the trash. However, up to this point, he has, for some reason, not been able to file for divorce from the Dallas Cowboys. They love him. They see something in him that no one else sees. No one else sees. And it was only today that they opted to release him. But then I want everybody to remember they released him at the end of the preseason for final roster cuts, and he landed back on the practice squad. He's still practice squad eligible. I believe he's going to land right back on the practice squad. And that just goes to my point. It just seems like when it comes to moves like Kellen Moore or, you know, beating your head against the wall with Quincy Carter back in the day, or just for every
great move. My man went back
move,
to Quincy.
Quincy, Clint Stoner. I mean, let's just throw some stuff out there. For every great and unbelievable thing that happens with the Dallas Cowboys, there's this alternate reality of like two or three things that literally has you sitting back scratching your head like, what the hell is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, my number one, and I promise you, we could do 40 minutes just on why it's the Upside Down. But you know as well as I know, when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, we love them to death, but some of these moves are just strange things. Number one, Dallas Cowboys organization is the Upside Down. What you got, KD?
Fantasy football fans, listen up. I know you follow me on Twitter and you've been taking my great advice about who to start. I'm killing it in all of my leagues. But the most fun that you're going to have, right here. It's not too late to join the 450,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real-life snake draft, but you're in under 5 minutes, and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for week 8 of the NFL, just in time to make sure you get all of the Cowboys, especially Ezekiel Elliott, in this tsunami that they're going to be playing in when they travel to Washington on Sunday. The best part? Play for cold, hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites. Dig it. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when they make their first deposit. But you have to use the promo code Cowboys. That's right. Play a real money game for free just by using promo code Cowboys. And it gets even better. Why? Here's why. Draft.com is so sure you'll love it, they're even offering our listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search for Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and play free right now with our promo code Cowboys.
Pat, I have to give you your props on that one. The effort that you put into that comparison, it almost made me believe that you actually have your own Netflix subscription and you aren't borrowing somebody else's password. It almost made me believe that about you. But we know that's not the case.
Is this because I'm using two sets on your password? I told you we can straighten that out later.
Listen, my kids like to watch their shows. So you can
upgrade your account, man. We won't have the problem. All right, upgrade your account.
No, that was actually pretty decent. I liked the concept. The execution was a little bit, and you didn't stick the landing like I would, you know, hope that you would have. But it was a great concept. But let me rewrite one of your biggest wrongs in your comparison of 11 to Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay, who you got?
11 is a miracle worker. When 11 first appears on the show, you have no idea what you have in 11. It's an unassuming kid, shaved head, shows up in a diner. They think she's a boy. They feed her. They have no idea what to do with her. Everybody that comes across her is like, "Hey, little girl, do you need any help? You don't really seem to fit in here." She's shy. She doesn't seem to fit in with the overall atmosphere that she's in. But when it's go time, time to go, she is a total badass. She is able to do things that nobody expects that she could do. She owns the scene every single time she gets on the stage, and that is why the only comparison for the number one spot between Stranger Things and the Dallas Cowboys is 11 equals Sir Dak Prescott.
I knew it. Spit it out.
Listen, man. The star of the show. When Dak Prescott was drafted in the fourth round, there were a handful of people that thought he could have been a badass, just like there were a handful of people that expected, okay, well, there's a little girl with a shaved head. She must be something special. But all in all, everybody else around 11 and around Dak Prescott doubted what they could do. And you put him in the mix, and as the show showed us, as they eventually unraveled her character, the more you see, the more you know what a perfect weapon 11 is, and that's what we see with Dak Prescott. What cannot he do? And I said that way on purpose. What cannot he do? Because he can do everything that you ask him to. He can run out of the pocket. Uh-huh. He can throw precision when he's on the run. He can dissect the defense. He's getting better at that. But most importantly, all he does is win. Just like when 11 made that boy piss his pants in the gym. Just like when she walked out of the grocery store with the frozen Eggos to go eat them in the park. Just like when she caught him on the cliff and my main man Mike took a dive over 100 feet and she caught him in the air and brought him back up. Just like when she broke homeboy's elbow. That's what Dak Prescott does each and every week for the Dallas Cowboys. He is, as you already said, in your explanation of why you gave 11 to somebody else, that Dak Prescott is an MVP caliber player. I'm listening to your explanation like, what are you talking about? You just gave the exact reason why 11 is Dak Prescott and not Zeke. He is an MVP caliber person. What I said beginning of the year, there was not going to be a sophomore slump. He was going to have a chance to win MVP of the entire National Football League. Just like 11 is the MVP of not only this world, but also the upside down. Dak Prescott is the one person that can survive this entire circus that is the Dallas Cowboys. So if you want to call the upside down the Dallas Cowboys, who dominates the upside down? 11. Who's dominating things for the Dallas Cowboys? Dak Prescott.
Ezekiel Elliott.
No, sorry. Pay attention. That's what everybody wants you to think. I'm putting you in the boat. The non-analysts are saying,
I'm putting you in the boat.
I'm giving you two paddles. I'm putting you in the boat. The non-analysts are going to say that everything is based on Ezekiel Elliott. No. Everything is based on Dak Prescott. Everything.
Oh, brother. Okay, let me say this. Very, very, very impressive comparison from 11 to Dak. I'm not even saying that's way off base, because it's not. It's actually not off base by much. But where it is off base is where it becomes on base when you compare 11 to Ezekiel Elliott. Dak Prescott is, in fact, a tremendous player. Again, this is the guy who said he is an MVP front runner in 2017. But if you look at the Cowboys offense, It is predicated upon the success of Ezekiel Elliott with a secondary, and it's hard for me to say, let's not say secondary, let's just say 1B, because secondary makes it sound like I'm, you know, discounting what Dak Prescott does and what he's capable of, and I don't want it to come off like that, because, like I said, MVP front runner. But that being said, when you're talking about the play action, that only succeeds if Ezekiel Elliott is in the game. If you're talking about the read option, that only succeeds succeeds to a much greater degree if Ezekiel Elliott is in the game. Now, granted, the read option also plays off of how capable the quarterback is, which in this case is Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to concede concede based on your comp and my comp that there are enough similarities between Ezekiel Elliott and 11 as well as Dak Prescott in 11 that comp could go either way. I'll give you that much. That comp could go either way.
Let me answer this question before we wrap up. Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
You say that Dak Prescott is MVP frontrunner.
Absolutely.
How you gonna be MVP frontrunner for the league if you're not the MVP of your team?
Oh, stop that. So
and
the
discussion.
No.
You said nothing about Ezekiel Elliott being an MVP candidate. You said nothing. Well,
that's fine. Nothing. I also didn't say I drank Dr. Pepper 5 minutes ago, but I did. I got to tell you everything for you to understand. No, sir. That's not how this works. If you take Dak Prescott out of the fold, let's say you inject Cooper Rush. Now, Cooper Rush is not Dak Prescott. Let's put that out there right now. But if you're asking, hey, Pat, can the Cowboys win games? Or will they win more games with, let's say, a combination of Rush plus Elliott versus a combination of Prescott plus, let's say, Alfred Morris? I think that's a plus two game differential as far as over the course of a 16-game season. Two or three games swings in your favor if it's Rush plus Elliott versus if it's Prescott versus a committee of running backs with Morris and Smith and McFadden. And that's why, although I'm saying that Dak Prescott is one of the MVP frontrunners for the league, absolutely, that makes him one of the MVPs of the team. But there is also a phrase, and you've heard this before, because you're a damn good football guy, right? Have you ever heard the phrase co-MVP?
I have, but I didn't hear it come from you, which is more than
you just did.
Now,
you just
circling
did.
Back me, because you had to circle back around to try to save face.
No,
I had to grab the fact that 5 minutes ago you drank a Dr. Pepper when you know that you were drinking the Piggly Wiggly brand. You weren't drinking no damn Dr. Pepper. So come with the real when you're talking to me. That's it. We're going to shut this thing down. If you're on Twitter, make sure you're following my man Pat at Voice of the Star or following me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. Follow us both. Tell us who you think won this debate. Top five comparisons between Stranger Things and Dallas Cowboys players. The new season, again, it releases Friday at midnight. At midnight, the stroke of midnight, so you can catch up on season one until that point and then dive right into season two. You know what it is. Pat, sign off for the people, man. Go drink your Shasta.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you guys keep up with KD Drummond on thecowboyswire.com, myself on dal.247sports.com. It's been fun as always. Speaking with you, ladies and gentlemen, fun with my boy KD. The Stranger Things comparison, the Catch the Spade podcast is officially back. We ain't going nowhere, so just deal with it. And that's all science.
Salute.